Well, God bless everyone tonight. Let's stand and give the Lord praise. He's worthy of all of our worship. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we thank you for the mercy and the grace of God. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you bestowed upon our lives. We pray now, Lord, that you would help us, and strengthen us, and help us to do the things that we need to do for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You want to be turning in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'm going to be preaching from that portion of Scripture there. But I'd like to say I count it a great honor to be able to come and preach here at our home church. And Brother Moore and our pastor has been doing an outstanding job preaching. And we're not someone that's hurting for preaching. We hear plenty of good preaching. And I appreciate Brother Moore and his ministry. And more so every year I see something improvement and growing up higher and higher. Well, one of these days he's going to be so high we may not can reach him. I don't know, but his messages have really been good, especially the last few months he's really been preaching to us. What about that one, God Is? You could take that and go any direction. Preach all day and all night and all the next day. I can't preach as long as Brother Bill Burkett. He preached one sermon, 8 hours and I believe 5 minutes. As in Brazil, good thing it wasn't in the United States. Folks had went and got him a lunch and come back. But 8 hours and 5 minutes is a long time to preach. And so I won't preach that long tonight. I read in the Bible where there was a time when a man preached so long that one guy was over in the window. You know what happened to Eutychus? He went to sleep. And he fell out of the window. Now, my commentary on that is the reason he fell out is more of him out than he was in. If he'd been more in, he'd fell in. But he fell out. And I hope you're more of you in tonight. I'm going to read my verse of Scripture to here and preach to you by the help of the Lord. And I want the church here to know that I appreciate the church. And I feel like that we are a family that belongs to God, but we also belong to one another. And I believe Brother back there in the sound booth brought that out here. We were all of one body. And we are. And many members, but one body. And the Bible teaches us that if one member, like you hit that little finger with a hammer, not just that little finger hurts, but you hurt all over. And I remember one time dropped a big steel mortar box on my toe, big toe, and took the nail completely off of it. And I don't usually cry too easy, and I wasn't crying out loud, but I couldn't keep tears from hurt so bad tears was coming down my face. My brother said, "Hey, Don, you're crying." I said, "Man, I know it, and you'd be crying too if that had been your toe." And so we are all members one of another. Right in your Bible right now in the 34th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, who has it? Anybody need more time? All right, here's what the Bible says. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. In the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altar of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. And he cut down. and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And then, as they begin to cleanse out the temple and search, as they begin to cleanse it out, verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. I want to talk to you just a little while from this portion of scripture. The reign of Josiah is a very interesting one. Yes. It comes on the heels of the wicked reign of Manasseh and his son Amon. And Manasseh was a wicked king, and the Bible teaches us and declares that he committed abominations like that of the heathen. He built and rebuilt the altars that were destroyed by Hezekiah. Yes. And then the Bible says that Manasseh worshipped the host of heaven. That means the stars, the moon, the sun. He worshipped those. And he built idol altars right in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the Lord's house. He desecrated God's house. Yes. And so deviant was his sacrilege that he caused his children to pass through the fire of Molech. Now Molech was one of their idol gods, and they had an incinerator there erected for that purpose, to offer offerings and sacrifices to Molech. And he brought his own children and offered them in that fire to his God. He used enchantments and witchcrafts and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he caused all Israel was backslid because of his wicked reign. Yep. And though God humbled Manasseh in his death, and he turned back to God and was forgiven, his wicked son Amnon followed right in his father's footsteps. And the Bible says his own servants assassinated him in his house, and his reign and his kingship was cut short. And then we come now to Josiah, who was next in line for the throne. But he was only 8 years old. Do I have a boy here that's eight? Put your hand up if you're 8 years old. Anyone eight? Anyone close to it? Oh, come here, son. Come here, King Josiah. Come up here. I want you to sit up here in one of these chairs, will you? Come right on. Oh, you got one up here? Oh, here's guy's coming. Okay. Sit right over there. Oh, man. Josiah was only 8 years old when he took the throne. And he began to reign. And Josiah was of the seed of David. And the Bible says he walked in the ways of David, his father. What had that to do with his reign? Well, you see, we draw strength from our ancestors. The Bible says that in the eighth year of his reign, that be at age 16... while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Oh, yes. Isn't it amazing what a godly heritage will do? The example of righteous David caused Josiah to walk in David's way. Yes. And then it led him into his own personal experience in the Lord. Right here we have Brother Moore, Charles Moore. And then we have his seed. Here's Brother Steve, our pastor. And then we have some of his children here. And then, you got some grandchildren here tonight, Brother Moore?
Yes, I do, all of them.
All right, see, that's a godly heritage. Yes, oh, yes, and it will have an effect upon them later on to know, even the younger ones, to know that their father was a preacher, a holiness preacher, and a pastor of the church. Oh, yes, And out of Josiah, when he began to walk after the ways of David, his father, his own personal experience, he found, and his relationship with God, he began, when his relationship with God was within him, when he was only 16 years old, he began to purge his land of its abominations of the heathen. He broke down their altars.
Yes, he did.
The altars of Baal and all the images. He cut down the groves, which are outdoor places of worship and sacrifice. And he destroyed and broke in pieces every idol and every molten image. He even killed the wicked idolatrous priests upon their own altars. I'm telling you, this man meant business with God.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't playing games. After he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, he went to the temple, the house of God, and he began to purge and cleanse the house of the Lord and repair and restore it. And I'm going to start preaching to you. I have my message here in just a moment. In the midst of all their work, the Bible says in our text that I read to you that Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of Moses, the word of God. He found it in the house of the Lord. For a little while, I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me, on the subject of the lost book. It was lost right in the house. The Bible was lost in the house of the Lord. Well, I'm afraid that this text may seem foreign to us that are sitting here tonight. And yet I'm afraid it's a terrible parallel to some of the churches we have in this day and time. I'm afraid, just like we come by a church tonight, had up a sign, tonight is game night. Yeah, we passed it on Highway 77, right out of Noble. Well, we're not playing games here tonight.
No.
I'm preaching you the Word of God. So listen, the book of the law had been lost in the midst of the idolatrous reign of Manasseh and Amnon, and God and his law had been discarded and pushed out, and heathen practices had been instituted in its place, and to generations the law of God was lost. Look at the new versions we have of the Bible. The NIV, for instance, I call it the non-inspired version, NIV. Anyhow, and a lot of churches are using that now. But if you count the reigns of Manasseh and Amnon until the time that the book of the law was found and brought to Josiah, it was 80 years. Four generations had lived in lawless idolatry, gross darkness, and religious sacrilege. Why? Because the book of the law was left behind and lost. It is believed that this book that was found was the original copy of the Pentateuch, the one that Moses wrote. Whether so or not, I do not know. It could have just been a copy. But what a treasure, hidden and lost amidst the clutter of idols and images and shrines and pagan deities. But listen, one generation of godliness and downward heathen trends caused them to have a lost book. The Bible, God's holy word. Oh, the spiritual condition of the churches today can be traced back to one thing. It's a testimony that the book is lost. Oh, there's no gospel preaching in many churches. My grandson, I love him very much. He's a charismatic and has a charismatic church. So he had 500 Sunday, a little over. And well, what does that got to do? Same thing as I told him, the lower the fence, the more cattle can get in the field. That's what I told him. You build a fence up there where it belongs, and you'll see a difference in the crowd showing up. But here, listen to me. We have lived to see the day that even the Bible has been barred from our schools.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
oh, yes. And even the Ten Commandments has been barred from our governmental halls and prayers that are prayed in generic fashion at commencement ceremonies. And they say, I don't want to offend nobody if I call Jesus' name in my prayer. Well, I'm going to tell you, they offend me when they don't call Jesus' name. Why be offended when you call the name of Jesus? Right. For that is the only name whereby we must be saved.
Right.
He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes. Why not call His name out in prayer in public places?
Absolutely.
Say, well, I'm afraid somebody will be offended. Well, they just have to be offended if I'm praying that prayer, because I'm going to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Listen to me. Somebody needs to cry out today and say, the book is lost. The book is lost. Oh, you see, the Bible says in Psalms 138, verse 2, God said, the writer said, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, we know how high his name is. God has given him a name that's above every other name. But his word here, he's magnified even above the name of Christ. Listen, I'm glad that we're in a church where the pastor still preaches the word of God. Oh, yes. We don't need no funny stories. As a matter of fact, years ago, I stopped one woman that was a teacher, and she was a good woman. She just made a mistake. But come by her class, and she was teaching or telling a story of Goldilocks. And no, was that it, Shirley? Was it I think Goldilocks. And I just stopped, knocked on the door. Yeah, brother is. I said, hey, this Sunday school and this church was not built to tell children about Goldilocks. This is built to teach them about the Word of God and about Jesus Christ and the Son of the Living God. Oh, thank God. But we have lived to see the day when the Word of God is being barred. And instead of bringing their Bibles to school, now they bring guns. Quite a difference, you know. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to cry out, the book is lost. Listen, the book of the law was written by Moses by divine inspiration of God. It was written to be the blueprint for living and the guidepost of our lives. The law of God was given to establish governments and human relations and to instruct in the ways of God. It dealt with the origin of sin and man's sinful state before God. And it also told of man's only approach back to God. No book deals so severely with sin as this book right here. But no other book has the remedy for sin but this book. Thank God for the Bible. Now the treasure that was lost was trampled under tradition. Devilish darkness had swept that area. And now darkness is covering our land. Once a God-fearing, God-loving nation that we one time had, we're not finding it now, all because the book was lost. I read somewhere not long ago that Abraham Lincoln kept the Bible handy and read several chapters every day. I wonder how many chapters Mr. Obama reads. I just wonder how many he reads every day. Abraham Lincoln was a great president, and the emancipation of the slaves, he brought them out of slavery. Oh, listen. But now, in our nation, we see it in the condition it's in, all because the book is lost. I would to God that America could see the perilous path that we are treading. You no longer have to pick up an encyclopedia to acquaint yourself with the practices of the heathen. Just busy yourself among our streets and commerce and in our malls, and you can see our generation is tattooed and pierced. Oh, yes. All the markings of heathenism is upon us. Oh, and many churches are in sympathy with them. but I think somebody needs to cry out against sin. We were in a church not long ago where they had a man, a couple of them, but one man in particular, he'd just been saved about less than 3 years, and he had tattoos all over him, and he was ashamed of them. Of course, there's nothing he can do about it. He's come to the Lord since then. God's forgiven him, but he was ashamed of them. I don't know how you feel about it, but the Bible is against putting markings on your body, and I can show you that in the Bible. Oh, yes. Well, I don't guess nobody here is getting ready to run out and get a tattoo. But anyhow, I'm telling you, don't do it. Oh, yes. Our society is a product of a rebellious Manasseh generation who rebelled against God of his fathers and pushed the book aside for a pagan alliance and deviant lifestyle. And my generation and your generation has lived to see the day when murder is mandated on demand for those that's wanting to have an abortion. And now, I don't know how true it is, but I heard that Planned Parenthood has now put their approval on taking body parts from babies actually before they're even born and selling them. How low can the human race get? I'm not in here all by myself, am I? Okay. All right. Listen, my generation has lived to see the day when homosexuality and lesbianism is an accepted lifestyle, and they are quibbling now, saying they should have the same tax privileges and status. In other words, two men living together, two women living together, that they should have the same tax status privilege that traditional marriages have. Oh my. They now have their calendar days, these people do. And they have special privilege events, even when they can parade down our streets in their lascivious lifestyle and their perverted clothing. They have their lobbyist group in our capital and their own homosexual television channels and websites, they tell me. They are pushing their agendas in textbooks in the public classrooms in the school. And the governor of California, and my niece is connected with this, she says that he is making big allowances for transgender lifestyle. In other words, here's one of them. Which one are you? Brett? If Brett was there, decide he's a girl, goes into the girl's bathroom. And then if his wife's there and decides she's a boy, she can go in the men's bathroom. That's going on in California right now. Say, why are you telling us all of that? Well, here we are. That book was lost in the house of the Lord. But somebody's got to find the book again. We need a Josiah generation of leadership who will say, read it loud, read it clear, find it, learn it, love it, and live it. It is God's holy word. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm telling you this. Listen to me. Listen to me. Mr. Obama, your president, sorry to say our president, but your president, don't depend on him to change any of the status of morality. Don't depend on him to raise the standard any higher, if anything lower. But listen to me. We need a generation of young people, and I'm preaching to the young people now, that will rise up and declare the truth of God's word and pronounce to this generation all the curses that are pronounced by God on those that keep not the word of the Lord. They need to know that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Oh, I'm afraid our nation is sinking fast. Yeah, there was a man by the name of Patrick Henry who stood over 200 years ago in a wood frame church house in Richmond, Virginia. And he looked over his crowd and he says, I do not know the course that others will take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I do not know the course all of you folks will take. But as for me, give me holiness and give me righteousness that's taught in this holy book that I'm preaching and ministering out of tonight. The reason our generation cannot find their way, the book has been lost. It's lost because previous generations as well has left the book. And preachers have compromised not only in our generation but in past generations. It's just a gradual. Manasseh pushed aside the treasure of the Word of God for a trivial idol altar that he carved out by his own hands, and he is worshiping at his own altar. Oh, what has happened to our beloved America? Oh, I ask you that. What has happened to us here? I'm afraid that we've lost our real concern for the Bible. And the Bible tells us that Jehudi sat in the winter house by a fireplace. And a scribe came and brought the word of God. And he read one page and he took his penknife. And he cut that page out and threw it in the fire. Read another page. He penknifed it and cut it out and put it in the fire. He continued until he had burnt the entire book. Oh, listen to me. There are those that have no respect for this book. But I want you to know this is still God's holy word. And it has a place in our society, even though they're trying to push it out. Oh, yes, it has a place in your children's lives, in your young people's lives. You need to learn the word of God. You need to learn it and love it and live it. Oh, yes, you need to understand that this is the way you need to live. Praise God, we still have a Bible, a King James Version.
Thank you, Lord.
Someone said years ago, I was at the Blanchard camp meeting. Some guy didn't know what he's talking about. But he said, they tell me they're going to take our Bibles away from us. Said, if they do, all of us holiness preachers and people will get together and we'll write another one. Well, I'd sure hate to live up to that one. Wouldn't you? Oh, yes, I would. Oh, no, God's not going to put this in the hands of man. Oh, yes, he come down in Moses' day and wrote the Ten Commandments with his own fingers. Wrote it in stone. Praise God. This word of God is forever settled in heaven. Oh, yes, and heaven and earth shall pass away. But God said, my word shall not pass away. A child standing on his tiptoes, trying to blow out the sun, would have more success than man will have trying to do away with the word of God. It is forever settled in the heavens. Oh, that's why I've built my life around it. I'm getting old now. I'm running out of time. I realize that. But I'm going to do my best to tell this another generation that this is the way to live. And this book tells you about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. It tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It also tells us that long before Jesus was born, that prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. In one new translation, it says, behold, a young woman shall conceive and bring forth a son. Let me tell you something. We've got enough, all of us have got enough sense to know there's a difference between a young woman and a virgin. There's a lot of them young women running around out there that are not virgins. But we've got enough sense to know the difference. But here, we're living in a day when it seems our society does not know the difference. As a matter of fact, we got a society that seems like they cannot figure out who's a man and who's a woman. But I don't know if anybody ever heard my sermon I preached years ago on what did the little chicken see. Anybody ever hear that message? You heard it? Okay. I had two chickens walking down the road. And they said, "We're confused." Said, "In our world, you're either a rooster or you're a hen." Well, listen, we're living in a confused world today. But God's word is still right. Oh, yes. The story of the Bible is still for our generation. And don't try to do away with it because it's impossible to do so. It has been lost in many of the churches, and many people do not preach the Word of God. But listen to me. You will be judged according to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. That's why I don't like to see somebody read the text out of an iPad. Anybody seen that beside me? Yeah, have them read it off of an iPad. But the Bible says, and they all these dead that stood before the Lord, every one of them, which includes us, they were judged according to the things that were written in the book. We've got a book religion, friend. We don't have an iPad religion. We got a book religion. Come on, say amen. I believe we do. Amen. And this book, you'll find this in, let me see if I can find the scripture, in Hebrews 9:19. This book right here has been sprinkled with blood. Moses sprinkled both the people and the book with blood. So we've got a blood sprinkled book. And I want to live up to the blood sprinkled book. I'm getting ready to close. I haven't been feeling well today, but I'm still pressing on. Oh, you know, and I know there's many things that are so sinful today that people in high offices are putting their approval upon. And even some of you folks' favorite candidate for president, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, they've got her up for telling lies and things. You say, well, what are they going to do? They've always come out of it some way. Well, I found a little scripture today that fits them, Deuteronomy 32:35. Their feet shall slide in due time. Give them enough time, and they're going to lose their footing. They're going to lose their hope. You can't do wrong and get by. You can't sin and always get by and hide your sins. You may cover your sins for a while. Just like me when I first got saved, man, I was hooked on old Ernest Tubbs. Maybe nobody else here ever been hooked on anybody like that. But old Ernest Tubbs, man, he could sing that "I'm walking the floor over you." And several of those songs, and I was hooked on him. And I'd turn him on my radio when I'd go to work, and I'd listen to him. I hadn't been saved very long. I didn't know nobody knew anything about it. And we was having prayer one night at our church. The pastor called for a prayer meeting, and I was praying over to the end of the altar. Others were praying. My pastor walked over there, laid his hands on me, and said, "Son, I want to pray for you now. Having a battle with that old country and western music, aren't you?" Boy, you know, God knows how to talk to his people. Wow. Yeah, you can't hide stuff forever. Hallelujah. I quit old Ernest. Yes, I did. I quit walking the floor. I promise you. Hallelujah. When God reveals that to somebody that's praying for you, you better understand that's God that's doing that. May the Lord bless you tonight. I wish I could have done better, but I did my best. Let us stand to our feet. The lost book. I hope we never lose it in this church here. Oh, down here in this church, new mission, the Word of God should have priority over anything else. And I never did like to see them sell stuff around in the church, especially in the church, but around the church. I remember, well, started calling the name of the place you used to go to. They always try to sell you something. And, well, maybe some of y'all been there too, Fort Worth. Always try to have something that they want to sell you over there. Yeah, at the House of Prayer and the good people, and I love them. And I still get calls from those people there, and they really need prayer. But they always have something to sell you. Well, it's good if you got something to sell, but here at the church is not a place to sell it. And I've seen people looking through magazines at the church trying to sell stuff at the church. No, this is God's house. Amen. We don't need to buy and sell here. Can somebody say amen real good? Well, that's a pretty weak, but you see it? It's all right. I'm telling you, God's house is to be revered, and His word is to be revered, and His word is to, and His men are to be revered. Your Sunday school teacher, if they study and pray and teach your lesson, you need to reverence them and their teaching. And you need to, you say, well, there's something they taught I didn't agree with. Well, as our brother said, search it out. And if you see there is an error, because we're all subject to error, if you see there is an error, go to them and talk to them about it. But remember, we are all subject to error. Amen. None of us here are angels. I know some of you think you are, but you're not. Oh, yeah, we're waiting for that day, that coronation day when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory. But I wish we'd all gather into the altars, pray and pray for one another. And if you don't have no one else to pray for, I can tell you a fellow that can use all of your prayers. His name is Don Rich. Pray for me. I need your prayers. God bless you. Let's come in and pray. Thank you, Brother Moore.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Rich.
And thanks for the offering tonight.